Okay, we're recording again tonight. We are finishing up the positive aspects of Shabbat. We talked about Kiddush, we talked about washing, three meals, take a little spatzir, that's Yiddish for a little walk on Shabbos, take a nap, enjoy Shabbat, oneg Shabbos. But now we're ending Shabbos, which is so sad. What's the saddest of the three meals of Shabbos?
The third meal.
The third meal. There's a sort of melancholy kind of like, kind of this situation going on. Why is that?
Because we're stuffed.
Because we're stuffed?
No.
Because you got to go back to regular life.
To
regular life. You know, what's that?
It's the Sunday scaries for Jews.
It's the Sunday scaries for Jews. Rabbi Soloveitchik told the story that he once asked, he used to daven in this like Hasidic shtiebel when he was a kid, and he once asked this guy, Yankel the water carrier, said he had more holes in his garment than he had material, but on Shabbos he looked regal. And he was, you know, getting a little impatient. And he asked him, he says, what time is Shabbos over? And Yankel, the water carrier, turned back to him and said, is the weekday so good that you need to get back to it so fast? Like, where are you going? Chill out. Shabbos is good. Some people like to extend Shabbos a little. There is an Indian, it's called Tosefa Shabbos, adding on to Shabbos a little. I don't know. For people who are just starting to keep it, I know it could be a little stressful. So don't feel like, oh my God, I want to do it longer. Even though the clock's just changed and it's going to get longer on Saturday, but then you have more time on Friday before Shabbos. But this is very important. Havdalah means to separate. The ability to tell the difference between what and what. What are we telling the difference? What are we saying we can tell the difference between
holiness.
What do we make Havdalah? Holiness and good. Very good. Holiness and?
Secular?
And just not holy. Like the weekday and Shabbos. The and that's a really important thing to do. You need to have sacred time in your life, and you need to like carve it out and be serious about it. Because if you're not, and you're just kind of like half Shabbosing it, you're not going to get out of what Shabbos can give. And therefore, we make a very clear demarcation, a really clear line in the sand. Today's Shabbos, now I'm going back to the week. And by the way, we're not upset that we're going back to the week, because guess what we get to do when we go back to the week? It's not like we leave spirituality behind. We get to fulfill another divine mandate, which is to conquer the world and make the world a better place and get back to improving an imperfect world and an imperfect people. That's us. But Shabbos is just like that time we just chill out and be and experience connection between God and be grateful for what we have. But then we take out Shabbat, and now there's a whole Hinekel Yeshua. You get a guy with a guitar, turn the lights down. All that's nice. You don't have to do that. It's not like, oh, unless I have the whole MGE ski retreat, like Havdalah thing, I'm not going to do Havdalah. Here's what you do when you don't have the MGE ski retreat Havdalah. Turn to page 11. It takes you all of 5 minutes. It's how many blessings? One, two, three, four. Four blessings. First one is over wine. If you don't have wine, you can use grape juice. If you don't have grape juice, Havdalah is very liberal. You can use beer. You can use booze. Now, if you use beer or booze, you need to, booze I mean like whiskey, whatever, you need to change your blessing. From what to what? From Borei Pirei Gefen to Shehakol Niyeh B'Dvaro. Okay? And that's over here. The candle is given to one member of the household. What's the Havdalah candle look like?
Like twisty.
It looks like a twisty, but what is it supposed to have? It's supposed to be a... It was very cute. It's supposed to be like a torch. Not just one candle, but at least two. Okay? Let's say you can't find a twisty Havdalah candle. Again, cancel Havdalah. What do you do?
Take two candles,
put them together.
Yeah.
All right? Also, by the way, the Kabbalists teach that fire was invented. God taught Adam how to create fire, Motzi Shabbat, literally Saturday night, on the seventh day of creation in the evening. And that's one of the reasons we have Havdalah. Also, what's the deal with the spices? Why do you want to smell some spices? Goes back to what we said before. Why?
Because when we committed the sin, or...
You're getting so deep tonight, Nava.
Tree of knowledge, it goes back to Adam and Eve.
It could go back to that, but...
We didn't. The only thing that they didn't do is to smell, and that's why we use spices for Havdalah.
So the simple reason is because we're just a little down, and it picks you up. It's like, Smells nice. That's it. It's very simple. Now, I'm not saying that's not true either. I'm sure there's a Kabbalistic reason that's
Rabbi
a lot deeper.
Rabbi Avi taught us last
class. Yeah, so what did he say about...
He said that going back, like, we... So Eve and Adam ate. They grabbed, so touch, and then ate. So, like, all of those
so they
senses...
did taste.
Yeah. All the senses they kind touch. Of committed sin with, except smelling. And that's why, for Havdalah, we smell spices.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's a nice way to go into the week. And Bari Mira Eish, the next blessing. So let's do those blessings together. First one is either Shahakol O Bore Pri Hagefen. The next one is, yeah. What can you use as spices, by the way? Yeah, if you don't have a fancy spice thing, just go into the cabinet, get some spices. Cinnamon. Cinnamon's a favorite. I love cinnamon. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Cholam Bore Minei Bisamim. Samim are spices. What's the next one? Over the candle itself. Now, what do you do after you make the blessing over the candle itself? What's the deal? What is this?
It's something with the fingernails, right?
There is something. I'm not going to... You're getting Kabbalistic. Right, but before you even get that, what are you technically doing?
Not wasting the light.
You're showing... It's not just that you're not wasting. You're showing that now I can create a flame and get benefit from something that I've created because it's not Shabbos anymore. It's a way of saying it's not Shabbos because I'm breaking Shabbos. I'm actually creating. Which is a really good segue to our next thing. God bless you.
I don't understand why we're doing these physical actions.
Oh, so you're not. You want to benefit from the light. So you're taking your, you usually use the fingernails, you want to like, just get a little light on them so you could use the light for some practical function, some practical purpose. I can see the nails on my fingers. Or
okay.
You are practically checking for like dirt in your fingernails and
so Josh has made that up. It's not true. It's not true. But you're using it for a practical function because that's what you're not permitted to do on Shabbat. So it's showing I'm doing work. You know what I'm saying? It's like really the weekday.
Okay.
You seem unsatisfied.
You
don't
just
do work with your hands. It's by
illuminating my fingernails, I'm using the fire for a practical purpose.
Yeah,
illuminating something that's hard to see in the dark.
Right, and that's the blessing. Let's take the blessing. Baruch Atah, to say Hashem's name. Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. Right? Esh, by the way, is different than Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. Ner is just a candle. Esh is a fire. A fire is a flame. It's got to have at least two wicks. Okay? Let's continue the last. Baruch Atah Hashem. You guys with me? Uh-huh. Let's do this again. This is the blessing of Havdalah itself. Let's read it in English first. Blessed are you, God, King of the universe, who makes a division between the sacred and the secular, between light and darkness, between Israel and other nations, between the seventh day and the six working days. Blessed are you, God, who makes a distinction between the sacred and secular. By the way, you could say this in English. Please don't allow the Hebrew or anything else. I don't have a beautiful silver thingamajig to put the cinnamon in. So, no, just take the cinnamon. Make it in English. Just do it. It's really important for us to engage in these mitzvot. What if you can't make Havdalah? Oh, let's do it in Hebrew all together. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamavdil, Ben Kodesh Lechol, God who separates between Kodesh is holy and Chol is weekday, Ben Or is light, Lechoshech, the darkness, Ben Yisrael, between the Jewish people, La'amim, the rest of the nations, Ben Yom HaShvi, between the seventh day, L'sheshes Me'amasa, and the 6 days, Baruch Atah Hashem, bless you. God Hamavdil, Ben Kodesh Lechol. Now what happens if, now Shabbos is over for you, but what happens if you can't make Havdalah? This happens a lot. So there's not enough time to make Havdalah, and you want to break shot. You want to start doing weekday things. You want to start doing work. What do you do? What do you say?
Don't you just say that blessing?
Not that blessing. Go down below. If a woman has some weekday task to do immediately after nightfall, but this doesn't apply just to women, and she has not heard the Havdalah, she should first make the following declaration. Do this with me. Baruch Hamavdil, Ben Kodesh Lechol. Blessed is he who divided the sacred from the secular. If you just need to start doing work and you can't get to the whole Havdalah thing, you can just do that line. So like, for example, I used to do NCSY, and I was the drummer for them for a whole bunch of years. And I used to have to play the drums for Havdalah, okay? And I'd set up some of them before Shabbos, but not the whole set, because I didn't trust where they told me to keep the drums, so I used to keep my better cymbals and drums. I used to hide them. And then the second Shabbos was out, I would say, Baruch HaMavdim Kodesh Chol. I'd run, grab the drums that I need, start, and then they're ready to make Havdalah. I'm ready to go because you're not supposed to really play drums on Shabbat. The guitarist would do the same thing. Yosef just did this at the ski retreat. He wanted to play Havdalah with a guitar. So I overheard him. Like before he ran to get the guitar, he said, Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. Because all you need to do technically is really just sort of demarcate that and just acknowledge it's not Shabbos. We're going, and the philosophy behind this is very important. To be able to know the difference between holy and regular, between sacred and mundane, between good and evil, is a big issue in our society today. Everything's just being fluffed over into each other, and things are not meaning, in my opinion, what they should mean anymore. And we need to be able to draw a line and say, this is this, and this is not that. And not say everything is this, and everything is okay for everything to be each other. It's not okay, because then you lose out on the most important things in life, like what's right and wrong, or who your parents are, or who your siblings, because everybody's just one big love fest. I'm sorry, I'm going off on this right now. But it's very, very important. We have roles, we have distinctions, we have boundaries. Those are really important things. Nobody wants boundaries, but I said this before. Nobody wants to be told this is right, this is wrong. But just imagine, I love this analogy. My daughter just shared this with me. Of playing soccer on a rooftop with no fence. Not going to be a very enjoyable game. Because you're going to be thinking every time you kick the ball, it's going to go over and bop somebody in the head 10 stories down below. It's only because there's a fence around the roof that you can enjoy yourself and actually be your best soccer player. So boundaries and guidelines are incredibly important. That doesn't mean we have to live, uneventful, rigid lives where we don't, connect with other people and life is beautiful. But without those boundaries, I don't know. I think it's messing up a whole generation, in my opinion. Anyway, what do we say to each other when Shabbos is over?
Shavua tov.
Or if you want to be a little Yiddish, you could say a good week. You could do that. It doesn't sound very like spiritual. A good week. Sunday. Good vach. Vach is Yiddish for week. A good vach. You ever see anything? My grandfather, I'm told, used to do this. I never met him. But they take a little of the wine. How do you douse the candle? I don't know. You can just blow it out. You really don't have to do anything. Some people have different customs. They'll take the candle and then douse it in the water and then take the wine. Pour a little wine. And they take a little of the wine. Everyone see this?
Yeah. They do this. And then they put it in the pockets.
Yeah. He's in the eyes. And then my grandfather's doing the pockets. Yeah. That was for money.
Yeah.
That the week should give you, should do well this week. What's the deal with the eyes and the ears? You know? What's that?
I thought it was
eyebrows. Around the eyes for some reason. I'm not sure.
Like your senses are working, like your eyesight's working, right. Like your ears.
By the way, the Sfardim use the most beautiful thing for Besamim. They use Hadassim. You guys know what Hadassim are? Like at the Kotel, you see like Sfardim making Hadassim at the Kotel. I love the smell of Hadassim.
Yeah,
that's like the myrtle.
The green thing.
The light green. Mm-hmm. It's got a beautiful fragrance to it. And a lot of, I don't know, it's kind of nice to use that.
I also use rose water.
Okay, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to give something out. We're going to start reading something. We're not going to finish it, but I'm going to give it to you, and you're going to take it home and read the rest. That'll be your homework. How's that? Cool?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to send you a homework question. I'm going to ask you to read this, because it's really important. Is that all right?
Yeah.
This week?
Yeah.
You excited about that? Mm-hmm. Right. Josh, I can send you a homework question if you want. You look upset.
Yes.
No homework question. You just have to read.
I have someone get up and summarize.
He's zoned out.
But we will send a recording of this. We'll send a recording. I don't know if we need to send a recording of this one. Okay. Anybody have? Okay. What I want to do right now is dispel and try to start giving you an explanation for the big bad word called melacha. Because this is what trips up a lot of people for Shabbos. Everybody loves Kiddush. Everybody loves the Friday night meal. Everybody loves most of what Shabbos has to offer, except what's the big bad trip up? can't do this, and he can't do that, and I can't do this, and he can't do that, and it seems very, very restrictive. And it also doesn't seem to make sense, because all the Torah forbids is work. So it seems if you just read the Torah literally, you just have a bunch of unemployed Jews on Shabbat. But you can still get in a car and drive, and you can still go shopping at the mall, and you can still this, and you can still that. Just don't work. Do you know that not working on Shabbos is only rabbinically forbidden? The reason we don't work on Shabbos is because the rabbis are concerned that your employment may get you to do one of the acts of work, one of the 39 acts of work that the Torah defines as actual work, specifically writing. But let's talk about this a little. It's clear that work, look at the bottom of page 12. This is written by Diane Grunfeld. We've used Diane Grunfeld before. He is, his son Rafi Grunfeld came and paid a shiva call. He was very dear friends with my father. He's an attorney, lives in Riverdale. He writes a column for the Jewish Press, and his father was a great judge and scholar in England, and he wrote numerous books, one book called The Sabbath, and that's what you're reading from right here in this packet. And it's clear that work, or to use the Torah's own term, malacha, is by no means identical, last line there on the bottom, on the left, identical with physical strain or exertion. This is shown by the simple legal fact that you are not a Sabbath breaker if you carry a very heavy load inside your home. But if you carry even a small book from your house onto the street, you would be profaning the Sabbath. Does that make sense? You carry this little bencher in your house, nothing. You carry it outside, there's no Erev, let's say there's an Erev of Manhattan, let's say there wasn't. All of a sudden you're like a Sabbath violator on the biblical level. Okay? Maybe not the biblical level, because you'd have to really define the outside as either a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or a Carmelis, which I'm not going to get into, but you'd be breaking Shabbos in a serious way if you just went outside. I don't know, instead of the paper clip, you know, in my yarmulke, and it was in my pocket, and I walked outside, I'm breaking the Shabbos. I walk around in my home, I'm not. It just seems ridiculous. Like, that's work? Really? Where is the physical exertion of labor or strain? It's not. It has nothing to do with the physical labor or strain. Nor is it true to say that what the Torah forbids is merely the carrying out of our everyday occupations. The Sabbath laws include this, but they include far more besides, and it's clear they must be based on some kind of different principle. What's really meant by work, in the biblical injunction, you shall do no manner of work, can be ascertained only by a careful study of the oral tradition. And it's best not to use the confusing translation work. Are you guys okay? We're no longer going to use that word. In regard to this, we're going to call it by the Hebrew word, melacha. A clear appreciation of the nature of melacha is vitally important for the true understanding of the Sabbath, if you're going to observe Shabbat properly, and it is in fact observed to this day by those Jews mindful of their great heritage. The main source in the Torah for the definition of melacha is the command that all the various activities necessary for the construction of the sanctuary in the desert should cease on the Sabbath. Exodus 31, verse 13. All these are thus expressed, included in the term malacha. Here is a list of these activities taken from the Mishnah. Now, I want to just give this one thing out also. We're going to finish up.
The picture.
Oh, for the senior fellowship.
This is our
picture.
Third time. You want to make sure time?
Where, you have it one there?
Yeah, right there.
Can you give me five? Because you're taking them for the...
For the conference.
What time do you want to leave here?
Right after that. Yeah, we're having a... I did a 40-minute class.
Okay, so here. Everyone pass this around. Please continue to read on your own. I want you to read this one. This is the 39 melachot broken up into how they were actually done. I want to thank Rabbi Alan Schwartz of OZ who did this. I've been using this for many years. Please read this. Just keep reading. Read all 39, but read them from the second sheet that I just gave. And take a picture and come right back. Now you man this. Somebody screams at me. Isn't Rabbi Wild just wonderful? He's just the best.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this fellowship. You know.
These are really a weird
I mean, I'm just kind of curious.
What's up?
You can't drive.
It doesn't say
fire.
No, I know. It doesn't say driving, really. Like, directly.
Maybe you can drive.
Or electric scooter, there's no fire then.
It doesn't say anything about fire, does it?
When knowing, I don't know what that word means. Does anyone know what that word means?
Which one?
Winnowing?
No, I don't know.
Winnowing?
No.
Winnowing?
Number six.
Okay, now.
I don't know what that word is.
Okay, now, very interesting. 11 steps. If I asked you what does it take to bake bread, you would say, oh, I have to go to the, you're going to go to Whole Foods and see a loaf of bread right now, and you'll go bake bread. But there are actually 11 steps. First, you have to plow the ground. Right? And then you have to sow, and then you have to reap, and you have to gather and thresh, and all the way through the baking process. Now you'll say, what does that have to do with anything today? And I want to give you a quick example. It's very important. You're standing in Central Park on Shabbos, and your back's starting to hurt. You want to sit down on the chair, but all your friends are over there, and the bench is here. So you take the bench, and you start just like sort of on the grass. You start just dragging it along. You know, what have you just done?
Threshed.
Not threshed.
Destroy the grass.
That's called plowing.
Plowing.
It's called plowing. Plowing basically is turning over the topsoil to make it suitable for seeding. Now you'll say, well, I didn't intend to do that. I'm not a farmer and I'm not plowing Central Park. I just want to schlep the bench here, right? But that's exactly, it's like a little example of how inadvertently we are engaged in certain activities that we define as creative activities that went to the building of the tabernacle. Let's just read a little more.
But you can't water the grass. You can't
Correct.
Water things.
Water and spitting is an issue.
So what about like before the times of bathrooms? Like people that used
to They had to pish in an area, where they wouldn't buy causing something to grow.
Okay.
They would find an area that, they would have a latrine or of some sort that was not on grass.
Okay.
So very good. No, it's an excellent point, and thanks for grossing us out. Okay, so those are the 39 acts. Now, if we examine this list, look at 15 on top, on the right hand. If we examine this list, going back to this, going back to the packet, guys. I just have 5 minutes because Rabbi Penny's going to take you to whole. You're going to do a little shopping, food. Kashrut. It's going to be great. If we examine this list, we discover a surprising fact. They are seen to form a cross section of all the main types of human productive activity. This can hardly be accidental. However, it's not our purpose to inquire into possible reasons for this so far as the building of sanctuary is concerned. What does concern us is that the Torah has given us a clear indication of the nature and scope of melacha. In addition, certain types of melacha are mentioned independently in the Torah, like carrying or lighting a fire. The only actual melacha is an act of work, mentioned explicitly in the Bible, is carrying and lighting a candle. The others are just fall under the category of melacha. Don't do melacha on Shabbos. But how do you define melacha? Everything has a definition in life. In any legal system, a child is what? What age does a child go? Well, it depends on the legal system. So what's the definition of melacha? The written law has given us the outline of the Sabbath legislation. The oral tradition has only to fill in the details. By defining terms and by applying the given principles to all the practical questions which arise in everyday life. And every student of the halacha can see for himself the vast logically constructed system of the Sabbath laws. Now turn the page, please. I want you to read on page 16 on the bottom. Continue on your own. What is the unifying principle which underlines the concept of halacha? What is it? And he's going to basically be summing up Rav Hirsch's approach. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, who he considered himself really a student of, Diane Grunfeld, gives a very brilliant and simple, in my opinion, understanding of melacha, and has nothing to do with the physical exertion of labor. Because I can't go on Shabbos and flick a light on, but if I have 20 guests and I'm schlepping chairs from one room to the next, and Shabbos is out, I'm exhausted. I take my naps after Shabbos is over because I'm just wiped from entertaining 20 guests, but I haven't done any melacha. Now, I have to be careful not to overly exert myself. That's a rabbinic category. Of not, I'm not supposed to like go crazy on Shabbos, not supposed to schwitz yourself up and work too hard. But it's the rabbinic realm. Biblically speaking, we're just not supposed to engage in creative activities. Now, how do you define a creative activity? And that's what Diane Grunfeld does a really good job of. And the other question is, why? Why does God want us to cease from those creative activities specifically? Doesn't seem to have a problem with the physical exertion of labor, of straining ourselves, stacking 20 chairs. opening up a table, throwing another tablecloth on, having three more people over for Shabbos. That doesn't seem to be a violation of Shabbat. But doing this to the light switches, why? So I don't want to take away time from Rabbi Penny. You have a tremendous opportunity right now to go shopping with Rabbi in a supermarket, which is what you've always wanted to do. You all wrote that on your fellowship applications, that you would hope at some point a rabbi would take you shopping in a local grocery store. So this is your opportunity to do that.
If you're going to buy the rabbi, we're going to educate people about kashrut practically. And here's the basic rule, the more you know, the more you can eat.
So just everyone take this home. Can I ask everyone to take this home? And maybe what I'll do is, can I do this? It's now Wednesday night. What if I send you a homework question on Monday? There's not a lot. I'm just asking you to read the packet from page 16 to the end. It's just like 5-6 pages. Read it, and I'm going to send you a question. It's just going to be about how does he define melacha. Tell me what you think he's saying. And then we're going to spend the first 10 minutes of next week's class going over this and then talk about Purim stuff. Okay? By the way, you guys are the Purim spielers. So if you want to get together and start...
Henry's supposed
Where's
to
Henry?
Oh, really? Oh, we got to get on Henry?
Yeah.
Who would like to be involved in organize, in being in front of a little Purim...